Welcome to Art Watch, an enlightening foray into the lives of working artists. Come on in, step into our studio, and listen to something unique about the artistic development of some of our friends. I'm your host, Elisha. I invite you to travel along with us from the Midwest to the Great Wall, from Duluth to Beijing, as we follow the travels and exploits of the internationally famous Sumier brush painter, D. Teller.
D, welcome to Art Watch.
Thank you. I love being here.
So tell us about the artwork that you make.
What I make usually is called Asian brush painting. It's done with a Sumier brush and on rice paper. So it can be, doesn't mean it's just made of rice, but that's what they call the Asian papers that we paint on. Generally, I do watercolor or ink or a combination of both.
What was your introduction to Sumier painting?
Well, when I was getting my major in art, there was a Chinese lady teaching watercolor at Mankato State. And she asked if any of us would like to use the Sumier brush. And there were five of us that wanted to. And so that was the beginning. I got hooked on the brush. And then in the workshop in Duluth, more so. And then I couldn't paint anything when I'd go up north to paint unless I had my Sumier brushes, even if it was on watercolor paper, which they still work fine on that.
How did you get started in creating art in the first place?
All right, I guess I was born kind of interested. So I drew from the time I was little. I had no official art class until I was in college. But my parents were quite interested in education. Mom was a teacher. We lived on a farm. Dad was going to remodel the bedroom my sisters and I stayed in, and so it had pink plaster walls, and he said I could paint on. So my sisters and I got to draw and paint on our walls, which of course, when we had cousins that came to visit, they were just ran downstairs and tattled on us and told her mother, my aunt, that we were drawing pictures on the wall. So anyway, I was allowed to do a lot of things, I guess, because my parents were pretty open-minded.
Now, I know you've been an art educator, too, for many years. Can you tell us about that?
All right. So my first major was elementary ed with an art minor. Then I got an art major, and then I got my studio arts master's. And the trip to Asia helped with credits. You know, for that, I believe I got 6 credits of art credits I was studying at an art academy. Still had to pay Mankato State for the credits, but that's probably, and the master's, for those of you that have that as a goal, go for it, because I got mine when I was 50. And I did not get a bit of money more than when I had my 4 degree, but it was just a goal. So you don't have to be a spring chicken to get your schooling.
So, Dee, how do you get from being born and raised in the Midwest to studying Asian brush painting in China?
Well, I was fortunate that I found out about that class offered in Duluth we had a Monday night life drawing class. I tried to talk somebody from that class into going with me, but it's only a 4-hour trip, but for me that was, you know, by myself. I'm kind of social. And so it was a life-changing thing in that I found out I could do, usually the teacher is just landscape, or just portrait, or just animal. whatever, but I could pretty much do all of it. And so the teacher was kind of shocked at the, he critiqued me last, that week when we had the critique at the end with a little show. And he said, from Teller, I could learn. So I was like, I used no gas coming home from Duluth. I flew 4 feet above the highway. I was so excited. And then they said, you know, you have to come. And I was just like, well, that's impossible as far as finances. So what I did was everything I had painted or sculpted, I sold for half price. And then I took other investors. So if they wanted to invest in the trip, that's how I made it, because I had $500 saved for a white leather sofa. That got postponed for quite a few years. But I had a lot of friends that were willing to purchase or to invest. So the final day before I left, one of my husband's buddies that he bowled with, he was a pastor, and he had just gotten $50 for doing a wedding. So he came in with his $50, and I said, you're my 12th investor. And he said, well, even Christ had 12 disciples. So I had my disciples that helped me go.
And, you know, for those of us who can't be in this room during the recording, we are sitting in Dee's living room next to two beautiful white leather couches.
Yeah.
And the white leather couches did happen.
I did. It did so happen.
Believe in your dreams.
A few years later. Tom and I came through with some money for the white leather sofas eventually, but not at that time.
How did you meet your mentor, Lock Talk?
Oh, that's a wonderful story. So I studied in 87 in China, and then 88 I went back to Duluth for a Split Rock class, and Lock Talk happened to be the teacher. And it was like we had known each other forever, you know, when I met him. And so he taught flowers and a whole bunch of things. He didn't really teach the horse, but he demonstrated it. Well, when I take a class, I go back at night and paint, maybe till midnight. And then so I would go back to the studio and paint. And one night I painted a horse that he had demonstrated the day before. And then also the painting that I was doing, his son was trying to help me, and Lock Talk goes, boo, which is no, she's going to paint this one. So he had me paint a lot fancier one. Then he grabbed me on the shoulder, which would not be acceptable in the States, and says, you must come live with me. So that was like adopting me into his family, so that the history of his horse painting. He studied with Shubei Hong for 5 years as a youth because he was so gifted. So he felt like he could glom onto me and I would be interested, and I certainly was. So for one summer, part of the summer, it was only 2 weeks, I think, maybe. The first time I went, then the next summer to their house, and then the next year, his family came here. So we alternated. I painted with him off and on for 17 years. And he and his family would stay at our place for 3 weeks, and we would hold workshops and so on. So he became more than a mentor, just part of my family, actually. And so I was kind of chosen to be part of his team.
Literally.
Literally. Yeah, right. That's the truth. I've never worded it that way, but it certainly is correct.
Yeah. So, Dee, you mentioned your first Sumier teacher, but who else were your first believers in your artwork?
Oh, well, of course, my parents, my sisters. Yeah. Tom's also been very supportive. My husband lets me go on these excursions and lets me return. Which is probably fortunate. Right. And then I have gathered in recent years some very good friends that are extremely supportive.
Do you have a favorite moment in your career?
Oh, my goodness. Probably in 92, It was an invitational competition sponsored by the Beijing Ministry of Culture. And I got invited to compete with 6,000 artists from 16 countries. And lo and behold, I won third place. So I was invited for that ceremony. And Tom went with me, and then he got to climb the Great Wall that time. I've done it a few times. And I guess to be among these truly, truly gifted artists and to be chosen as third place was pretty quite an honor. And we got to feast with the people that ran the country. It was a riot, Tom and I. They couldn't believe he knew how to use chopsticks. You know, now I had studied in China, so yes, I should know how, but plus he's tall, and at that time he had a beard, and hair, you know, is quite honored among the men. So I was sketching all these little children as fast as I could, and then, lo and behold, pretty soon Tom was signing autographs by women, for women, because here's this tall man with a beard. And so we really got a kick out of that. That was fun. So that probably was one of the highest moments. I had 12 paintings that I did about Minnesota that I toured. It was called Wandering Minnesota, and all 12 of those had horses in those paintings. That was really important. It took me a year to develop that. And Southeast Minnesota Arts Council sponsored that experience. So, that was a good one. Other important ones are, you know, having children and grandchildren, but that's not an artistic event.
Well,
but it's important.
To some, perhaps.
Important in my life. Uh-huh. Right, right.
Where do you hope to go with your artwork in the future?
Well, I still have two art goals. I would like to be at the Minneapolis Art Institute, maybe with that Minnesota show. And I would also like to get for the National Sommelier Society of America. I would love to win Best of Show. I have won 7 paintings and 2 calligraphies national. So if I live long enough, I might get those goals accomplished. And then I would have to say that by doing art, it brings a lot of joy in my life. And I'm very, very thankful for that part.
Wonderful. Dee, thank you for being a part of Art Watch.
Okie doke. Bye-bye.
And thank you for listening to Art Watch. If you enjoyed the show, please consider writing a review on Apple Podcasts, leaving a tip at leaveatip.org, or if you can, support the production with a small monthly donation. Information on this, links to Dee's work, future episodes of this show, as well as the video version of the podcast can be found at artwatch.us. A very special thanks to this episode's sponsor, the Free Warren County Arts Initiative. Located in the beautiful, historic Bessesen former Opera Palace in Albert Lea, the FCAI is an arts nonprofit that offers a wide range of programming, from visual arts to virtual open mic nights. Visit them online at fcai.us. This show was also made possible with generous support from the Minnesota State Arts Board, Southeastern Minnesota Arts Council, and Freeborn Maurer Cooperative Services. This show was written and produced by Elisha Marin, Edding Fish. We have a great show for you next time. Really hope you can join us. Till then, take care.